When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cohn. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cohn in 99, 27 up, 27 down. David Cohn has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 303, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. A lot of baseball. We just talked about the NFL Sunday Ticket. We're going to get to the New York Rangers a little bit, as not only is it NBA free agency, but a lot of things are happening in the NHL as well. And this whole thing with the Rangers and Trouba is getting kind of interesting. I do think it's time to probably move on from him. It'll be the best thing for the team. It sounds like he doesn't want to go, even getting shipped back to his hometown, Detroit with the Red Wings. Seems like he's having issues with it. He's unhappy that the Rangers are looking to trade him. And I hear a lot of Ranger fans bashing him and stuff. I don't know if bashing him is warranted. I think this is a guy who played hurt. This is a guy who did everything he could. I mean, would he have been my choice for captain? Personally, maybe not. But I think he wore it fairly well. He worked his ass off. He played hard. He would lay big hits. He could change games that way. He was, you know, it just makes sense to move on right now. And it hopefully that deal eventually gets done. They're going to do some sort of family consideration or something to get the deal done and send them to the Red Wings. And then, of course, how are they going to fill that vaunted winger position to go along with Zibanejad and Kreider? I thought Kane would be an option. He signed elsewhere. And now you're looking at, you know, Steven Stamkos as a possibility. To come in and bring, you know, obviously a veteran player. I don't know if that's the answer either, but I trust Chris Drury. I mean, I know they haven't made it to the Stanley Cup. I know they haven't won, but he's done a really nice job at finding what they need and improving on it for the most part. I think Chris Drury has run the Rangers pretty damn well. And I think, honestly, to be fair to a guy that we're, you know, not usually fair to and for, you know, valid reasons, but James Dolan right now, those two teams are run about as well as any team in this town. The Rangers and the Knicks right now feel like they are more stable and well-run and confident in their front office groups and feel like they'll do something to improve themselves and put themselves in a position to chase a championship as well as any other team in this city. Let's get to the phones. 888-808-1019. Kevin and Bayonne.
There you go.
Kevin? Yeah, Kevin,
what's
tell up, everybody else to doing? Shut up. Guys, shut up. It's my turn. I'm going on right now with Big Mac.
Everybody shut up. I'm going on with Big Mac.
Yeah, just and tell the radio to. Lower the radio.
Oh, Sherry, lower the radio, please, baby. Up top, yeah. Hey, Mac, let me ask you something. Is that better?
Yes.
I've had DirecTV from 2001 to 2019, and I've had the package, NFL package, for 19 years.
Yeah.
And then I moved and I got rid of it, right? And you know the phone number, how I can
no,
find
I have
out
no
how
idea.
I can claim for that?
I have no idea.
But,
you got to look into
think,
it.
Hey, but let me ask you, you think I'm entitled to that, though, right?
I have no idea. Again, Mike Florio is reporting that there are 2.4 million people who may be eligible. First of all, it's going to be appealed. So you're not going to know for a long time. They were fined $14 million, but the appeal.
Supreme Court, right.
Yeah. So I have no idea, but I would try and find out. That's all I'm saying, because apparently there are 2.4 million people. I have no idea if you're one of them. I have no idea if those people have already been notified, but...
Right. I haven't.
Well, I would look into it. That's all I'm saying. I have no idea. I'm not promising anybody. Let's just make sure I'm clear on that. I am reading a report from Mike Florio that could be the number the people who are eligible for the money could get. I have no idea if you're eligible. If you've had Sunday Ticket, I would look into it. That's all. I don't know. But yes, that's what Mike Florio is reporting. Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, hey, C-Mac. Yeah, I would expect that I'm going to be one of those as well, because I've had the package up until they stopped with DirecTV. But, for that last one to call, just Google the phone number for DirecTV. I mean, how hard is that?
But, yeah, I mean, you could probably just call DirecTV. They'll probably let you know about it on some level. Yeah. But again, it's going to be held up. It's going to be held up in appeals. It's not like it's.
That's the thing. Exactly.
It's not today.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be quite a while before it even gets to that point. So that's why they're not going to notify anybody until they know for sure, you know, when the release date's going to be. You know, when that finally gets settled. So even with what it is now with was it YouTube TV? I think right with where it's on now. I mean, I always found it to be enjoyable anyway, as opposed to going to the game. Because I mean, I used to go to a handful of Jet games. Thankfully my aunt and uncle had season tickets, but I mean, it's just you can watch all the games for basically the cost of going to one game. You know, and you can pause them and do whatever you want.
Course.
You know, at your leisure. So I always found it to be very economical.
Oh.
You know, even with the price. That they offered it for. So just, and of course, obviously, if you're into the fantasy and whatever, it's a good thing to have based on the availability of it. But but I found it's interesting. I've always had. I mean, you mentioned you didn't have the dish or whatever. I always have every few months. Optimum always came to my house trying to get me to switch. Blah blah blah. And I keep telling them I'm not switching because of the Sunday ticket. Well, I lost that. I lost that part of the argument now because they're on YouTube.
Right.
So I don't know. I may have to consider switching because DirecTV, quite honestly, has gone downhill quite a bit in the last handful of years. For other reasons. But and I can't get Verizon where I am because of Charles Dolan. I mean, James Dolan.
Right.
So that's
the TV is fickle, man. It's so bizarre where you are and whether or not games get blacked out for you. There are people who live in these like in between cities where you can't see the Met game or the Philadelphia game. Like it's weird. It's weird. But as far as the DirecTV thing, I mean. Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know. I would check into it, but it's gonna be a while before they come to that sort of conclusion. But yeah, the crux of the argument is because it was only available on Sunday Ticket. I guess they didn't allow competition in some way and were able to gouge prices. But yeah, it's still like if you consider it that you can watch all the games. I mean, it's sort of economical, I suppose, as opposed to going. You're 100% right, which, by the way, we've known this forever. We've talked about this forever. Football and television are a perfect marriage. And you almost feel like you miss out much more than any other sport. I don't like going to football games. I would love to go once a year, tailgate, have fun, drink, bring a bunch of people, have a really good time. And then the game is kind of like, okay, well, and we'll go to the game. But I would much rather be sitting on my couch watching everything. And that was part of my argument about not feeling as close to the Giants as the Yankees, as a Giant and Yankee fan. I just don't feel as connected to them. I love the team. I'm there every Sunday like a crazed maniac, wearing my jersey, yelling at the television, furious when they lost, going to the dark room when they would lose big games, more than the Yankees almost, because it's only one. I mean, I would just... I'm beside myself, but the connection to the players and the team, it's just on another level with your baseball team when it's every day. So I welcome the idea of this Hard Knocks to get a glimpse of what goes on there and to feel like you have a real deep connection to the players, to the team. It's different because why? Because I got the Sunday ticket. And I'm as soon as I'm done with the Giant game, I'm on to the next thing because I'm betting the games. I'm gambling on the games. I have fantasy football on the games. Like it becomes a whole Sunday's a whole thing. Sunday's its own unique day. Nothing better than a football Sunday. Pat in Greenwich, what's up, Pat?
Hey, C-Mac, I called you.
You did call me
off the ledge. I was listening all the whole, so thanks for that. I didn't get to watch the games. I was down in South Carolina this weekend, but good to hear Glaber came alive.
Yes.
I love your two-hole idea. I don't know if Booney would ever, you know, get that creative, but yeah. It sounds like, you know, something worth trying. Like,
well,
you said,
I mean, as of right now, with Volpe not, you know, Volpe's really taking a dive here. Like, with Volpe, I mean, the way he's hitting, I saw Chris, I always forget his name, one of the beat writers for The Athletic, for the Yankees, said it's getting
Kirschner.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where is Volpe. I'm sorry, but I gotta let you go. The wind. I apologize, Pat. Is it getting to the point where Volpe is no longer the guy you want to have the most at bats on the team? Like, he doesn't have to be the leadoff hitter forever, I guess. And especially, you know, to get Juan Soto with this, you got to try and do something with this offense, especially if it goes back into the toilet after these, you know, two out of three games where they scored some runs. And I just think that's a perfect spot to get guys going. You could put Volpe there. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with almost anybody in that two spot. To get guys going, or put a hot player there at the moment. Someone gets hot, boom, I'm moving you to the two spot. That's the best place to get fastballs. Or someone really struggling and I need, trying to get Gleyber Torres out of it, boom, two spot. Like, you have a weapon in those two players. I mean, they are, to separate them and put someone in the middle, I mean, that is, you're gonna get Soto on base and you're gonna have Judge behind you. No one's gonna want to walk you. You are gonna get fastballs. Ralph in New Haven, what's up, Ralph?
Hi, it's Ralph New Haven, Bryce Harper's father.
Hey, what's up, Bryce Harper's father? Do you want to go over some stats about when your boy won the MVP and where Judge is now?
We can go to his rookie year too, and the first MVP one too. So
let's go to his first MVP. That's fine. That's first MVP. We can go there too.
I don't really want to go there with that. Well, let's just say we'll leave that on the on the back burner for now. My comparison. You made a comparison about the Celtics' easy road to the championship and winning the championship.
Yes.
And I definitely agree with you on that. I think that if they didn't win it this year, especially with Denver not being there.
They still had to win, and they dominated. I mean, there wasn't a single game six. I mean, so, and I really feel like they lost one to Miami just out of sheer boredom. So I mean, like,
yeah, I think they lost that one game just to go back home and win it on the
turf. Yeah.
I guess my comparison is, if we're gonna look at baseball, I think right now the top teams would be the Phillies, Dodgers, and Yankees. You know,
and Baltimore. And Cleveland.
Well, Baltimore's up. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just looking at it this way. If Baltimore's your only team to beat in the American League, being you're saying they're the best team and the best player,
when
you say that your road, not to win the World Series, but to get there, is probably the easiest you've had in years, right now.
It doesn't feel that way because of how they're playing. But I get you. Well, listen, right now, I mean, don't eliminate the Astros from contention. If the Astros are there, I don't care what their record was. I don't care if it's the wild card or division. The Astros are a tough player.
They recently played good ball. I'll give you that. Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess.
I'm only saying because we also have the Braves we have to go up against too. You know what I mean? So Phillies, Dodgers, and Braves are going to equal each other out in the playoffs. Well, you have to get by, saying Houston, Baltimore, possibly Cleveland, but.
Yeah.
The National League, as much as you might say, the National League is down. So is the American League too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do
you think right now the way the team is designed for the Yankees and Cole coming back, they would be the favorite to make it there? I think right now, but right now I think it's the easiest time to make it to the World Series. I'm not saying win the World Series, but make it there.
I mean, I could check the books. I bet you the Yankees are still the favorite. It's crazy. Right now, because as much as I'm a Yankee fan, they've been playing like crap for 3 weeks. So I'd be surprised if I'd be surprised if anybody felt they were the favorite. But just because people bet the Yankees, the odds might be that the Yankees are the favorite to get to the World Series in the American League. I can give it a look during the break. But first of all, the Braves really aren't with the Braves. It's Philadelphia who are dealing with injuries right now. Bryce Harper and Schwarber both on the IL. It's Dodgers Phillies right now, the way the Braves have played. Now I get it. Without Ronald Acuna, they're gonna have to make trades to that offense. They're having down years from a lot of guys. I guess if they all get going, sure. They're talented enough, definitely. But, yes, I would agree with that. I think the Yankees would have to, because everyone, if I don't agree with it, everybody does. Because every time I mention Cleveland, Marash out of nowhere, I'm getting strays about Cleveland. The idea that Cleveland's a good baseball team and the Yankees deserve credit for beating them is ridiculous. It makes no sense to me. So, yeah, if you listen to most Yankee fans, sure, it's the easiest road because there's only one good team, Baltimore. That's it. Everyone else stinks until they beat the Yankees. Then they're great, and it's a measuring stick that the Yankees could measure up to. That's how it works, apparently. And I was totally misquoted on my – I never said – let's just make this clear. I have argued that there has been this fugazi argument that the Yankees can't beat good teams. That has been, now it's to the point where it doesn't matter. They got beat by the Blue Jays. I mean, it's not about good teams. It never has been. But there was this discussion about, well, they lost the Dodger series. They lost to the Orioles. They lost to the Red Sox. And we just threw we threw the Red Sox in there because they lost. And that was proof they can't beat good teams. And I was just like, well, let's just tell the whole story because you're missing a whole bunch of playoff teams, including Cleveland, who's on fire. And I was met with, Cleveland doesn't count. They play in the Central. Cleveland doesn't matter. And then it got spun. Well, I said the Yankees are fine because they beat Cleveland. I never said that. What I said was, is if we're telling the story of whether or not the Yankees can beat good teams, would you say good teams are playoff teams? Or are we saying elite teams? And if we're saying elite teams, wouldn't you put Cleveland there? Because right now they have the best record in the American League. Right now Cleveland has been the most dynamic team in the American League. Not Baltimore, not the Yankees, the Cleveland Guardians, who are currently percentage points ahead of the Baltimore Orioles and the New York Yankees, for that matter. They are, all of them are 22 games over 500. Cleveland, Baltimore, and the Yankees are all 22 games over 500, tied for the best record in the American League, technically, percentage points-wise. Cleveland's ahead. They have the least losses. Yankees have 32 losses. The Orioles have 31 losses. And Cleveland has 30 losses. But they all are 22 games over 500. The Yankees have played four more games than Cleveland. But we can't count Cleveland. Not allowed to talk about Cleveland. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that right now Minnesota would be in the playoffs, 10 games over 500. Doesn't matter that Kansas City currently would be in the playoffs at 8 games over 500. Those teams don't count. Don't you get it? Those teams don't matter. I push back on that. That's it. Not that the Yankees have been successful against good teams. Not that all that really matters is Baltimore. That's who they're competing with. But I don't think it's a cakewalk, no. I think Seattle throws excellent starting pitching at you if you see them in the postseason. If you see the Astros in the postseason, they've been to how many consecutive ALCSs? Baltimore is a young, talented team. Now they'll probably have to add starting pitching to the bullpen, which will be dangerous. Cleveland, same thing. Pitching right now, their offense is just absolutely killing it. But, yeah, I guess I wouldn't put them on the same level as Dodgers and Philadelphia just yet. I don't know. But they're certainly good enough to warrant, say, hey, the Yankees beat them. 8-8, especially when you're telling me all the teams they lost to. So the Red Sox matter. Cleveland doesn't. The Red Sox are 5 games over 500. The Guardians are 22 games over 500. But the Red Sox series matters. The Cleveland Guardians series doesn't matter. Stupid. It's just stupid. But none of it matters. Matters how the Yankees are playing, plain and simple. And at least this series, they were able to get a split on the road, come home and face an average Cincinnati team that they need to figure out a way to win a series.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Call at 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. You can also hit me up on Twitter or X, whatever you call it, as I monitor through the show. And thank you to Michael Sweeney, who alerted me that today is Bobby Bonilla Day. I forgot about that. Today is Bobby Bonilla Day. Congratulations to Bobby. I'm sure the check will clear from the richest owner in baseball. Another $1 million for Bobby Bonilla, who gets paid between now and 2035. He's still, what a remarkable contract. Unbelievable. He still has another 11 years getting paid $1 million a year for $5 million. He was owed $5.9 million when they cut him in 99. But instead of giving him the $5.9 million, they decided to strike a deal with him to pay him $1 million every year from 2011 to 2035. Those installments will eventually total nearly $30 million, which is obviously far more than the $5 million he was owed in 1999. But the Mets felt like they could use it for payroll and invest it with Bernie Madoff. So I don't know if it went well for them. I don't know how saving that $5.9 million, it worked out for Bobby Bonilla, that's for sure. And I always say that, like, people think I'm crazy. Am I the only one who, if you won the lottery and it was, you know, you could take it in installments or the one lump sum, I understand that you take it in one lump sum, you can invest it, you make money on. I like the idea, and maybe this is just because of my lack of confidence in myself with money, but I like the idea that no matter what I do with it, I could burn it, bad investments, like whatever, I'm going to get another check in the next year. Like, I like that idea. To get it in installments. It's almost like I can't blow it. And that's why, like, if I don't do many scratch-offs. Every once in a while, you get them for birthday cards. You get them for whatever. I got some for helping coach the team from a parent. And the one I always want is the win for life. That's the fantasy. I don't need much. I don't need to become a filthy millionaire. Give me two grand a week for the rest of my life. I'm good. That'd be nice. I mean, it's not the same as winning the Mega Millions or something where you take home $900 million. But I'd settle for $2,000 a week for the rest of my life. Sounds good. I'm in. But today is Bobby Bonilla Day, and he takes in a lot more than that, as he will continue to do so all the way until 2035. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, everybody. And you know what the other thing I saw was, how about, and we're talking about the Knicks, how about Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton on WWE for SmackDown? Now, I have a sad story to tell. I got to be totally honest with you. And I'm upset with it as much as anything else I've ever been, like, as a father. My sons are no longer into wrestling. I don't know what happened. I thought he was a lifer. The younger one still, every once in a while, would be like, let's put on Raw, let's put on SmackDown. The other one, he's completely immersed himself in sports now. That's it. He wants to know everything about baseball. Every day he's asking me who's the best at this, who's better this or this, how many championships, who has the most Stanley Cup championships. But, like, it's just nonstop sports, 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 sports. And he has completely forgot wrestling. Just, and it was like, wrestling was life. Like, he literally said that. Like, when someone asked him at the bus stop once, one of my buddies who, you know, his in the neighborhood, we are at the bus stop. And I forget how he asked it, but my son Tommy just looked up and he goes, wrestling is my life. That was 5 months ago. Like, I mean, and now, done. Maybe that was like 6 or 7 months ago, but still. It's almost like my kids were there to make sure Cody won the championship. And then once he did, it was like, I've seen enough. That's it. I was on this Cody journey. Now he's made it. He's finished the story and I'm done. I'm cool with it because he's much more into sports now. And that's great. And I'm looking forward to that. And he's playing all the sport video games, and he's asking me questions about, like, football formations. And, you know, it's better than, at least for me, obviously, you know, it's better than the wrestling. But it's just, it's incredible that something could be so important where it's all he thought about day and night. Can we please go here? Can we please go to this Raw? Can we please go to that show? Can I get this toy? Can I get this wrestling guy? Like, nothing but wrestling, everything. What do you want? Everything was wrestling, wrestling, wrestling. Just this Christmas, what do you want for Christmas? I want this, this. It was all wrestling. That's what he told everybody to get, wrestling stuff for him. Now it's July, and he doesn't care, doesn't want to put it on, no interest in it. It's just, it's scary. It's scary how fast they change. It's freaky. And so I didn't even know this. I just saw it now. This would have been on my radar 3 months ago. I would have been all over this. Jalen Brunson saves LA Knight from Tyrese Halliburton and Logan Paul with a steel chair at Madison Square Garden.
That sentence is just...
I know, it's a bizarro world. It's a bizarro world. I remember, for whatever reason, when I just said bizarro world, it reminded me of a headline. Like, this is a crazy... Jalen Brunson saves LA Knight from Tyrese Halliburton and Logan Paul with a steel chair at Madison Square Garden. That's a weird one. And not to get political, I don't want to get political. We don't want to talk about the debate or anything, although, you know, we all saw what we saw. Scary stuff, that's the two best people that we could have to run this country. But I remember when Trump was president, and I got a newspaper somehow, and the headline was, Kim Kardashian visits President Trump to speak about prison reform. And I was like, this is straight up a Back to the Future headline. Like, there is no way in what world where that is a legit headline. Kim Kardashian visits President Donald Trump to talk about prison reform. And I'm just like, that's, you know, Marty, and he's got to go back and fix the timeline. Like, that's just craziness. But Jalen Brunson saves LA Knight from Tyrese Halliburton and Logan Paul. I'm watching it now. And it does look like he tweaked his hand a little bit. He kind of favors the surgically repaired hand, but apparently he tweeted out, just lived out a childhood dream, and yes, the hand is fine. LOL, y'all can relax. Because that would have been, can you imagine? Can you imagine if he went there, picked up a chair, swung it at someone, and re-injured his hand and had to have surgery again or caused them all kinds of problems? That would have been... Ugh. But Jalen Brunson and the Knicks involved in WWE, and I'm unaware of it until now as I'm looking at Bro Bible. How'd I miss this? This would have been all over my radar 3 months ago. And as I'm looking at these dumb stories on, you know, well, I shouldn't say dumb stories, but these odd stories, there's one that really bothers me too. Like, I don't know what this would say about us, and I'm hoping he's wrong, because I don't know anybody who really wants to watch it. But Dana White is predicting. I don't know if he's predicting, he's trying to pump and promote what he's doing with this power slap stuff. But he thinks it's going to be the biggest thing in the world. He thinks it's going to be bigger than UFC, this power slap. If you've ever seen it, it's just people who stand there and slap each other. It's arm wrestling, but instead of arm wrestling, they literally slap each other in the face to the point where they knock each other unconscious. It's horrendous. It's horrendous to watch. And if he's right, and if that is something that does captivate us, and that's something that that puts up good numbers, and we all follow certain slappers, and, oh, the big slap fight, you get it on pay-per-view, like, that'll be the end. That'd be the end. What? How could we possibly find that entertaining as people just get, you know, just knocked out from a slap? I don't get it. I watch it. I can't even watch it. I have to turn away. It's ridiculous. It's hard to watch. But yet, we'll see if it grows in popularity. I don't think it will. I think he's wrong. I think he's promoting his product. I doubt very much it will. Have you ever seen it? You into it at all?
No, I have seen it, but I'm not into it.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I have a real tough time with it. I can't imagine that it's actually a thing. But we'll see. Dana White's good at promoting, so we'll see if he gets it off the ground. But I just can't even fathom it. It's horrendous. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Still waiting for more NBA news. As Hartenstein... Which would still be, it's a lackluster group of centers. for the Knicks or anyone in free agency. The Thunder met with him yesterday. I love Hartenstein. I think
Paul George is official.
Paul George is now official?
Yeah, 4 years, $212 million. Wow. With the Sixers.
Wow. Give me that number again. 4 years.
$212 million.
Yeah, so it's the Ananobi contract, right? He got five years.
One less year.
Yeah, one less year. 212. 4 years, 212. Man.
This is he did this when the Clippers made the trade for him, when Kawhi was holding everything up, and then Paul George traded literally an hour later. It was at this exact same. It was in the middle of the night.
Like, yeah,
everyone was asleep.
Not everyone.
Yep.
But yeah, 50. I mean, a little more than $54 million a year. Wow. All right, Knicks fans, let's go. This Knicks Sixers rivalry is going to be a good one, because as much as I think he's a little bit of a flawed player, and I don't know if I would pay him $54 million, he's still very talented, two-way player, can shoot, and he helps that roster because, again, if Maxey can develop, we saw what Maxey was, right? We all knew he was a good player. We saw him take it to another level in the postseason against the Knicks. I mean, single-handedly winning games with a injured Embiid. And hitting big shot after big shot. I mean, you know, it was impressive. And if he continues to grow and Embiid is healthy, and now you've added Paul George and you've got the role players, you know, Oubre is coming back as well, and you've got some of the role players to go along. If they have some shooting along with that size and Maxey at the point and Paul George on this team, I mean, that's a very good roster. Breaking news from Adrian Wojnarowski. Free agent forward Paul George has agreed to a four-year, $212 million max contract with the Philadelphia 76ers. George committed in a meeting with the Sixers officials and returns east to join Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey in pursuit of an NBA championship. That's going to be a fun... Now, I mean, that's going to be a fun rivalry, considering what happened last year. The additions the Knicks have made, now the additions of Paul George that the 76ers have made, that is going to be a fun rivalry. And they're now scary, let's be honest. That is a good roster. And Milwaukee is still a good team. This is going to be a tough Eastern Conference. The top of that Eastern Conference is going to be between those four teams, the Celtics, the Knicks, the 76ers, and Milwaukee. I mean, you can. I understand what the Pacers just did. I appreciate that they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Haliburton is, you know, had a down year. I expect he'll probably have a better year this year. They'll grow. They already brought back Siakam. They'll be good. They'll be good. I would put them on the tier below. I think the four teams at the top right now are dangerous, and the Celtics are going to have some competition. As long as everybody's healthy, I mean, the battle for those top four seeds, the battle for this Eastern Conference should be fun, and the Knicks are right there with anybody. And we'll see what they do at the center position, whether they stay with Mitchell Robinson, whether they move him, whether they're able to bring Ihart back. But right now, and especially just thinking of how fun that 76ers season, that series was. It was probably the best series of the entire NBA playoffs that last year. And, you know, the idea of those two teams now inserting themselves with even more talent, injecting themselves with even more talent, and, you know, thrusting themselves into hopefully the top of the conference and a new rivalry, I think should be fun. Which roster do you like better? You're a basketball guy. You're a Nets fan.
I am.
Which team would you be more afraid of right now?
I would actually put the Bucks in a lower tier.
Yeah.
I would put the Knicks second, and I'll put the Sixers third. And that's because we still don't know what the Sixers will do with the rest of our roster.
Right.
You know, Klay Thompson's still out there.
Yeah, he. There was some momentum with him going to the Mavericks.
Mavericks, yeah.
That hasn't come through yet.
But I think, yeah, I mean, the Bridges trade, well, for me, I'm very happy about it. I'm ecstatic because it actually gives us a direction. Because it also like led us to get to that like Rockets deal. But for the Knicks, it moves the needle a bit, but the Celtics are still better.
Oh, no, I agree. Right now, you can't say anything other than the Celtics are the best team. That is no doubt. But this roster now is as deep and, as long as any roster this side of the Celtics, probably even deeper, just not as, we'll see. But the 76ers just thrust themselves right into the middle of it. And this will now, hopefully, this should be anytime they play Boston, anytime they play Philadelphia, the Knicks games are going to be through the roof exciting. Like, there's just no other way around it. This is going to be, the Knicks have thrusted themselves to the top. They're no longer a team you were hoping could be a 4 or 5 seed. Like, that's what they were last year. Until January in the Ananobi trade, then they transformed themselves into something different and gave this fan base excitement. But heading into the year, I think most Knicks fans understood that they were the three teams ahead of them, Milwaukee, Boston, and Philadelphia, and you were hoping to be that next team in that next tier. And now, I think everybody feels, myself included, Alex just told you, we feel like we are right there as a Knicks fan base, and this Knicks team is right there with everybody this side of Boston, even with Paul George, who I didn't want. I'm glad they did what they did instead of paying Paul George $54 million. But we'll see, and hopefully there can be another playoff series because that was fun.
So technically, I know Paul George is making more money technically with the last year. So you would have taken OG over Paul George?
You're right. It is less money. It's the same total number, but it's one less year. You're getting him for 5 years. Yeah, but I would. I think he transforms the team. I think he is better defensively. I think he fits into what they're trying to do much better than Paul George. And listen, Paul George just went to Los Angeles, guaranteed championship, said he owes the franchise a championship. And, he's gone within 2 years.
And OG is younger.
And I still think there's more to... I think OG has much more. You saw in that playoff game without... When Brunson left, he scored 28 points in 28 minutes. I think there's more to his offensive game that he hasn't even tapped into yet. I think he can be more than just a perimeter defender who can shoot the open corner three. I do think there's more to his offensive game. Now, how much will they use it? How much will they need it, considering the amount of scorers they have between Randall, Brunson, and now Bridges? I don't know, but I do think it's there. So I think it's a better fit, considering the other pieces they have, than Paul George. Yeah, I do. I do.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
He's going to have 50 in a week. At this rate, 31 home runs, 82 RBIs, hitting .316. The man is a beast. Just take a second and really appreciate. I'm riffing off the promo there. Take a second and appreciate what you have, Yankee fans. Honestly, I know you haven't won a World Series since 09, and I understand, MVPs don't float your boat, right? Nobody's getting off on a Cy Young award. I get it. You want to win a World Series. We all do. And I'm not telling you to change that thought process or desire. But maybe just take a step back every once in a while and recognize you are watching one of the great baseball players to ever play the game. I mean, that's just the plain truth of it all. The guy's as good as almost anyone who's ever played the game. You can't be better. It's tough to be better. This is the hardest it's ever been to play. I firmly believe that. It's never been harder to hit than it is right now, and this guy's putting up crazy numbers. He's just so good, and it's such a pleasure to watch. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls, though, real quick. Bobby in Pennsylvania. What's up, Bobby?
What's up, C-Bat?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Awesome, man.
Good.
Listen, I've been listening to you for a long time,
mm-hmm.
going back to Carter Roberts and... What's his face over there? We don't want to say.
Evan Roberts, Carton and Roberts, Evan, Tommy Lugauer, who else?
Yes.
Yes.
We didn't want to mention him.
Oh, okay. You're not a Loogie fan.
I am. I don't want to shout it out on your show, jerk.
You calling me a jerk?
No, I'm a jerk. I'm a Mets fan. I'm a Knicks fan. I'm an Islander fan. I'm not a Cowboy fan. So That's why I didn't want to call in, because the Cowboy part.
That's okay. You have this belief that I am so very unnice and that I will treat you poorly.
Yeah.
You could mention Loogie. We're not Capulets and Montagues over here. We're okay with each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, me and Loogie are just fine. I like Tommy.
I heard you were the same as, what's his name over there, the new one?
Marash?
Marash.
Marash I don't like.
Marash.
You're an interesting fella.
Thank you, bro.
Okay, cool.
I love you too.
All right, listen. Thank you.
What's up?
That was the least surprising. Oops. And then the oops, sorry, too, was very, very. But, yeah. No, me and, I don't know if anybody, I'm assuming the dump wasn't that long. If he didn't, yeah, me and Loogie are fine. Me and Marash are fine. If we go at each other on Twitter or something, it's mostly just fun. We grew up together at the station. And I worked with Loogie for years. Me and Tom are great. I love Tommy. He does a great job. I mean, you know, he'll always and forever be the second bridge show host, but that's okay. He does a great job with it. And he's coming into his own, sticking up for himself against Sean. Love it. I love me some Tommy. Sean, on the other hand, no, me and Sean are cool too. We mess around. We might go at each other on Twitter with our Yankee takes because, you know, I'm a Yankee apologist who doesn't think they're the worst thing ever. John in Freehold. What's up, John?
Good morning, Chris. How you doing, my friend?
Good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. I'm outstanding, Chris. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine on this Monday morning. I'm doing great. July has started.
I think you might need another cup of coffee after that last.
Oh, my God. I don't know what the hell that was.
Goodness.
That was weird. I didn't want to mention his name. And then, did he call me a jerk? Or did he call himself a jerk? Or did he call Loogie a jerk? I'm not sure.
He called you a jerk, I believe.
That's what I thought, right? I thought he called me a jerk.
Yeah. Right. Let's move on. The hell with it.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about our Knickerbockers this morning. As far as Philadelphia is concerned, you know, all I'm going to say is cross your fingers and toes and good luck to them. Paul George is a guy that never stays healthy of late, and he hasn't been able to break through in the playoffs. So God bless the 76ers. I'm glad he never got here to the Knicks, because I thought that would be a humongous mistake when you already have injury-prone players on the team like OG, Randall, and Rob.
Well, I mean, I don't know if OG would have came back if they did Paul George.
Yeah, I'm glad it worked out the way that it did. Even though OG has the injury history, I think his upside is much greater, and he's younger than Paul George is at this point in his career.
Well, yes.
And I think he still has room to grow offensively as well and get even better.
I do. I agree with that.
Under this coaching staff and with the players he has.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Boston, Chris, the thing that makes them so dangerous is everybody on the floor can legitimately score. And the Knicks don't have that, unfortunately, but Mitchell Robinson is their man in the middle. And when you make the major move, the blockbuster trade for Mikal Bridges, Chris, and you're going all in to win an NBA championship, you can't have a scenario present itself like it did a year ago where you're humming along and you're looking for your best seeding in a very competitive Eastern Conference, and everything gets blown up in smoke when Mitchell Robinson and Julius Randle go down with injury. So I think the priority for the Knicks right now is get Hardenstein back here, convince him that this is the proper place for him, this is where he grew as a player, this is the best chance he has to win, and it's the right fit for him. Just sell him on that, get him back here, and then I think you need to move on from Mitchell Robinson. Get some of the draft capital you lost in the Mikal Bridges trade back for Robinson, because he just can't hit free throws, he has no offensive game, no go-to moves, and he consistently always breaks down. And that's going to be a problem when you're looking to win a championship, having a guy like that on your roster, and then he goes down, and then you're scrambling around trying to find an answer. And we know Jericho Sims isn't the answer. Now, when it goes to Randall, Chris, I would look to get Lauri Markkanen in here. I'd rather have Lauri Markkanen than Julius Randle. Julius Randle, just like Paul George, can't stay healthy, and he hasn't been able to break through in the playoffs. He hasn't been able to take his team to that next level. I can't trust him, Chris. I'm sorry. I don't like the isolation basketball, Randle. I like ball movement. I like everybody touching the ball, everybody getting involved, and I think Lauri Markkanen is a more well-rounded and more dangerous offensive player that they could add to this team and take their team to another level than sticking with Julius Randle. I really do. I think those are the two moves you got to make. Maybe that trade's not available right here, right now, but I think first and foremost, you got to move on from Randle. And I told you, Jalen Duran from the Detroit Pistons, I would look to try to extract him out of there in some kind of trade. The Knicks still have a lot of draft capital. If they move Robinson out of there and they recoup some more draft capital by trading him to another team, you could use that draft capital, you know, the combined draft capital between getting Robinson out of here, bringing back what you can for him from another franchise, and then combining that with what you already have and getting a young Jalen, Duran in here at your center position, much more athletic, younger than Mitchell Robinson, better offensive game. And the Knicks have always seemed to make a lot of trades since Leon Rose came aboard with the Detroit Pistons. They have a good synergy there as wheeling and dealing.
Right.
So if you can get those, if you can bring Duran in here right now and then see how it unfolds during the season, and if it's not fitting, if it's not working, if Randall's still an issue, then, you know, come trade deadline, maybe you can extract Lauri Markkanen in here and take the Knicks to another level and improve your seeding position, because you got to have that home court advantage, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know.
You can't be a 3 or 4 seed, Chris. You can't. You can't be a 3 or 4 seed if you're trying to win a championship. Not in this division.
Yeah, I don't know. What were the Heat when they made it to the NBA Finals last year?
Yeah, but that was a fluke, Chris.
Done. I mean, you know, you need...
Yeah, but they've gone backwards since then, Chris.
So what does that mean? I mean, you know, but that year they were where they were. I don't know if I agree with everything you said. We'll get to it on the other side. I do agree with your Mitchell Robinson, but we'll get to the Randle stuff on the other side. 4 o'clock, I'm late for the update. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. We'll talk a little bit of baseball. Obviously, the Mets coming off now their first series loss in a month, have a huge series against the Washington Nationals coming up. How do they respond after losing, after the bullpen blows it, after everyone's going to blame them for that hideous concert that they gave up Friday night? And the Yankees found a way not to lose a series. They have the night off before welcoming in the Reds for a 3-game set starting on Tuesday. And has Gleyber Torres found it? And what exactly sparked